Harris Holzapple. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible Church in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It's good to be here this morning, church. Amen? Man, look at that. There's people said amen back. This is great. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, I don't know if you've, millennials, Generation X, you know, people like that. You talk to a lot of cameras, you've done a lot of things, but let me tell you, it's hard to preach to a camera. It's interesting. God told me when I first started this, he said, just pretend that's a family. Preach to the family. And it is. It's a family. You're out there. You're with us. And soon we'll be together, and I'm excited. But we've never left. You know, the church didn't shut down. We became mobile. You know what? If I can be completely honest this morning, good for us. Because we get stagnant if we stay in the same waters. Come on now. Stir it up. Holy Spirit, stir it up. Hallelujah. Well, last month we had What Would Jesus Undo series, and it was awesome. It was great. I was so thankful for God's words that he gave us last month. But here we are. Can you believe it's June? This month's theme is Unmasked. God gave me this theme like 2 months ago. Here's a definition of what it means to be unmasked. Quote, to expose the truth and true character, end quote. I want to say this, the devil does not want me to preach today. He didn't want me to preach all week long. God has a word, church. This month we're going to be hitting sin and evil head on and exposing it to the light of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 11 through 14 says this. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed to the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The devil has been deceiving mankind since the beginning. If you look back even in Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent said, did God indeed say? Is that really what God said? We need to have our eyes wide open, hearts full of compassion, and led by the Spirit of the living God. Church, we need to think eternally, not just temporal. We need the light of Christ to expose the evil schemes of Satan. We need to see the realities of today and ask God what we should do. We need to be full of love, peace, and unity in all that we do and in all that we are facing. So even as Christians, no matter your color, your background, or your social status, we are all feeling a lot of emotions right now. And we are wondering what we should do and how we should act. See, what happened to Mr. George Floyd broke the back of silence for so many. It exposed a worldwide exposure of injustice and evil. See, racism on any form and racism on any level, no matter the color, is a form of division. See, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, they're hurting, they're afraid, and they're angry, and they're tired, and some of them are traumatized. And that breaks my heart. Sadly, right now, because of evil and the sinful divide, there's so many questions and so much hurt and so much pain and so much disunity. James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and the NLT says, yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures to love your neighbor as yourself, but if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. currently see and recognize the assault on what is deemed as human rights and social distinction. They're on the rise. See, we've all heard this phrase, divide and conquer, right? In a war, the strategy forces the enemy to divide in the defenses and leaves them vulnerable. See, this is Satan's strategy. He uses the same tactics in the body of Christ. He seeks to divide and conquer because he knows that a disunified church is a weak church. I'm also reminded that right now we also see unite and conquer as well. Excuse me. Man. Hallelujah. One of the marks of the last days is division. Amen? We can find that in the Word of God, and we even find it in the words of Jesus. Y'all maybe don't hear a lot of sermons on this. I don't, about these scriptures I'm about to read. Matthew 10, 34 through 38. Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to turn a man against his father, a father against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. See, I believe that's what we're seeing right now. This type of division in full force. Deception in its many heretical forms has fragmented not only Christianity, but even the world as we know it today into groups, each with their own belief systems, LGBTQ, racial groups, political parties, generational labels, social status, sexual identity, and even religious denominations. And what has happened is each group, from their own point of view, they say, if you disagree with us, you must be the enemy. We're in a war with darkness. Oh Lord Jesus, unmask the truth, expose the lies, and set us free from the spirit of this age. So what is unity? Fortunately, many think that unity means sameness. This is not true. Unity is not uniformity. Instead, unity can be defined as this, quote, any group of people who are characterized by the shared purpose, vision, or direction, end quote. It's not about being the exact same, but it's about advancing toward the same goal. Think about a basketball team. I played basketball from fourth grade through college. There are different positions on the court. Each position has different skill sets, roles, and responsibilities, but all players on a team march toward victory together because they have the same goal in mind. What we must realize is race has always been a part of God's plan. Always. God's plan also included a way to create unity among the different races. The plan's epicenter is Jesus Christ. See, simply an outward conformity is not true identity. True identity is only found in Jesus. Through Christ, racially divided groups get reconciled into one body. What is it called? I'm gonna ask you a question. How are we together today, right now? We're called the church. I didn't grow up where you grew up. You didn't grow up where I grew up. I don't look like you. I didn't have the same things happen. But guess what? We are together in one, known as the church. Church is a place where all distinguish different things that distinguish who we are no longer cause any more divisions. because our unity is in Christ. Our common goal becomes advancing God's kingdom through sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole entire world. The world cannot solve the problem of disunity. The world cannot stop wars. The world cannot bring peace. But when believers from every race come together and operate in biblical unity, we will no longer be divided or conquered. We will be victorious. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and 16. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When in his own body on a cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of the law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on a cross. And hostility toward each other was put to death. When you go and hear an orchestra, many times the first notes that you hear are chaotic as each individual player warms up on their instrument. The violin player is playing their own tune, the oboe player is playing his own tune, and the result is a harsh and awful noise. You ever heard that before? Like bands warming up. And you're like, oh, what? But when the conductor walks on stage, all the players submit to his direction. And beautiful music is the result. Right? Come on. In other words, there's strength and beauty in unity. There's power in unity. And unity glorifies God like nothing else on earth. So in the book of John, there's a record of the longest prayer that Jesus ever prayed. The main concern of that prayer is unity among God's people, which signifies the power and the importance of unity. Jesus prayed for all believers in all times to become unified. I'm going to read a portion of that right now. It's found in John chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 20 through 26 in the NIV. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have given me, and they may be one as we are one, in them and you in me, so they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and see my glory and the glory you have given me because you loved me before creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you and they know you that you have sent me. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. See, when the body of Christ comes together with one common purpose, we can and will change the world. We must work together across racial, cultural, and socio-economical boundaries to spread the love and hope of Jesus Christ to a dying, broken, hurting, prejudiced, and lost world. In order to take a stand, we first must take a seat. The conversation starts in our hearts, in our homes, in our communities. I have this pastor friend this week on Facebook, and he said it this way. He He said, quote, "Hearts don't change in comment sections. They change at coffee tables," end quote. Since unity is so important to Jesus, it should be just as important to us. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. We cannot be led by emotional reaction and angry division. Jesus said, "A house divided against itself will not stand." If you want to peacefully protest, that's your right. And it's wonderful if you do that, if you ask me. See, that's what makes us Americans. Think back on all the things that changed and started with peaceful protesting. Not only does it make us Americans, it makes us humanitarians. But if you're a Christian, and that's all you're doing, or maybe you're doing nothing at all, you're acting only on earthly things. Let me say this too. Rioting and looting is not only divisive, it's evil. It's wrong. See, if we want racism to no longer exist, we must contend for a revival, reformation. There's only one way to heal this land eternally, completely, and wholly, church. 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Give us God. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." God will never heal our land if we keep being divided. We must pray, we must listen, and we must commit to authentic repentance. Real repentance. Don't just act like you're sorry because you got caught. This isn't just a me versus you and you versus me and me versus the world and you versus the world issue. That's not what this is. This is a sinful divide. This is the darkness of evil versus the light of Jesus. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, "Look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves." Why would he say that? Because he knows, and we need to remember who the king of this world is right now. 2 Corinthians 4:4. "Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God." 2 Timothy 3, first five verses, "In the last days." You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people who love themselves and their money, they'll be boastful, they'll be proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They'll consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray their friends, be reckless and puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. In the last days, remember what Satan will control. He will control government. He will control politics. He will control the military. He will control economics. He will control financial systems. And lastly, he will control some religion and he will control some churches. But remember and be encouraged. John 16:33. "I have told you all of this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Jesus, we need you. So what do I do, Pastor? Literally, my prayer almost every hour since last week . There is no clear-cut answer right now. There is a clear-cut source. Seek the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do not seek the leading of man. Seek God. See, don't hold a sign if you haven't held a hand first. Don't stand silent and turn a blind eye. Stand up and get involved, but you must be educated first. Don't jump on a bandwagon. Instead, jump in a boat and help paddle. If you've not had a conversation with someone who doesn't look like you with what's going on right now in the United States of America, you need to immediately. I challenge you, by the end of the day, you better have a conversation with somebody that doesn't look like you, talking about what is going on today and how that affects them. See, we have to have compassion, understanding in prayer, and unity together for what's going on in our world today. And you cannot do it alone. Hurt people, but healed people bring healing. Jesus is about relationships. He always has been, and he always will be. Followers of Christ, church, you should be about relationships too. Seek out the hurting. Seek out the broken, down, the oppressed, the outcasts, the widows, the orphans, the secluded, the mistreated, the misjudged, and love them like Jesus. I'm going to pray here in a moment, and then I'm going to make an announcement. I pray that today's message blessed you and reminded you what matters most. If you're a believer, and for unity in Christ above all, your number one goal, if you know Jesus, number one above all things, even your own family, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reconciling love of Jesus is above all things, no matter what you do, what you face, no matter where you're at. That is number one. I've had a lot of conversations this week. Thankful for them. Very thankful for them. I'm reminded in God's word that if my brother or sister is hurting, lost or broken, even right now, it breaks my heart because it's hurting people that I love. But 5 years ago, we were facing other things that broke my heart. Bear one another's burdens. Pray for one another. Remember, forgiveness happens this way, right? When we pray to Jesus, but healing happens this way when we pray for one another. Let me pray, and then I'm going to say something. Father, we love you. We thank you for this word. Holy Spirit, I pray right now for conviction like never before. Upon every believer, everywhere, no matter how much hurt they may have here on earth or whatever. God, in the prejudice in our hearts that maybe was put there by whatever, for all the generations passed down or whatever it is, take it from us. We are one in Jesus. We will worship with you forever, God. We should might as well start worshiping together now. Father, I ask that you just come. Speak to us. Give us your wisdom. Give us your heart. And most of all, God, I pray for compassion like Jesus. See, what would Jesus really do? Not what would Jesus do that you want him to do. What you think he would do. What would really Jesus be doing right now? All I know is this, he'd be full of so much compassion. Lord, let us be full of compassion. Fill us. Empty us. Let us walk in someone else's shoes for a moment. Lock arms, church. Face outward. Help the world that is so angry. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Unmask the devil's lies. Unmask the anger and the frustration. Unmask the racist and prejudiced stuff that's going on. Unmask COVID-19 and the fear that it has caused over all people. Unmask the things that people have been pinned up in their house for so long that they're coming out with unrighteous anger, Lord. Unmask the things that are the enemy, God. And I pray that you unmask even our own hearts. Let us be real with you, God. Forgive us, Jesus, for what we've done and what we've made it. Forgive us what we consider to be normal that you do not consider to be normal. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh man, I'm a mess today. So the camera adds 10 pounds and hopefully this ain't HD. Y'all can see some boogers and stuff. Sheesh. I want to tell you this. I want to invite you on something Tuesday night, 2 days from now. I'm going to have a sit down on Facebook Live and hopefully YouTube Live. I was told that YouTube is not working. It didn't work on Wednesday when my wife was preaching either. We're going to have a phone call and check out what's going on, but hopefully we'll have it in 2 days. And I'm going to have an open and raw conversation with my longtime friend, Pastor Tim Pridgen. I'm going to sit right here, and we're just going to talk. We're just going to talk about what's going on. I want his godly advice. I want to, you know, we've been friends for a long time. I want to hear where he's at, and I just want to talk. So I want to encourage you to tune in for that as we seek God, love each other, stand in unity, and unmask and expose the evil in our world. Amen? Hey, I love you all. Can't wait to see you. All the ones that feel free that they want to come back next week to church, feel free to do that. If you don't feel like that's a safe thing to do quite yet, that's okay. You do whatever God is telling you to do. And you can come whenever, but we're going to keep having Facebook Live and YouTube Live. I love you. Bye for now, and see you soon.